Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I want to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and today we're going to talk about what God says about money. Not only about money, but about life. About this thing that we call stewardship. Not that old, stoic, just kind of old, stale church word that maybe we heard when we were growing up. But it's more than that. It's the true reality that all of these things, all these relationships, that they're all God's. And that we get the opportunity and the privilege to be able to manage it all for His glory. This show is based on Psalm 24:1 that says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that says that those who have been entrusted to be managers, you and I, that we must prove faithful. So in this show, we're going to talk about what does that look like day in and day out? What does that look like with our daily decisions? Everything that we talk about today can be found at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com, and there's just a tremendous amount of resources that are there for you under the Chris Recommends section, and again, everything that we talk about will be right there. This is a call-in show, so feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. You can call in with questions about debt, about wealth, about maybe savings or investing, or maybe it's just a testimony about what God's doing in your life in this area. Maybe it's even a question about how to steward your marriage or steward maybe your parenting. But feel free to call in. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. Our first call comes in from Phoenix, Arizona. This is Nicholas. Nicholas, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm getting better every day. How can I serve you?
So recently, about 2 years ago, me and my wife, we got married. I kind of grew up never having any debt. If I didn't have the money, I didn't buy it. And when we got married, my wife had a car loan, and we got that paid off fairly quickly with the savings that I had. And we've kind of lost the fire of budgeting and saving. Not we haven't lost savings, but I was just looking for a little bit of guidance.
Yeah, so it's just going too slow for you, huh?
Yeah, I hear people all the time with, you know, $100,000 that they paid off and they're really excited, and I don't have that excitement. I was looking to see if there was any encouragement how to get excited again.
Yeah. How much debt do you have left?
We've got none.
Okay, so you're just talking more, it's post-debt, it's just getting through the baby steps, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just finding excitement to continue to save and get back on a plan. I've never really had debt other than the $10,000 that my wife had, and we paid that off within 2 months of being married.
Okay.
So I never had that real excitement of yeah, we've done it.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it all comes down to goals. You know, you had that goal and you guys drilled it, and now you just need a new one.
Okay.
What are some things that are out there that you want? What's the vision? You know, we got to go back to Proverbs 29:18 talks about where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. That's kind of what's happening with you.
Yes.
The people perish where you're just kind of in la-la land going, what do we do next? You've kind of lost that fervor. You need a goal. What are some things that are important to you?
Saving up for a house.
Okay. So there's your new goal. Okay. And what's your housing situation now?
We're just in a little condo renting right now.
Okay. And how much savings do you have?
Well, we've got about $40,000 total.
Okay. What's your income?
About $60,000 a year.
So you have, anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 is going to be fine for your baby step three, your emergency fund. And then the rest just goes towards a house fund. You can just do that. And then you're just trying to build that up to be able to buy a house. That's your next goal. And, you know, that moment that you're thinking about, that moment where you can come in and shout, $100,000 in debt paid off. Well, you can have that same moment. Man, we saved up $200,000 for a house or $300,000 for a house, and we did it. And you're going to have that moment. You just need to, you know, you need to reestablish goals. So I would, first and foremost, I'd sit down and have a finance date night, a romantic finance date night with some coffee, you know, next to the fireplace, or maybe you're sitting by the pool or whatever it is for you. Maybe you go out to a nice dinner and you sit down and just dream. What would it be like if we saved cash for a house and then we had, you know, what we're paying in our little our condo right now, we'd have that every month to be able to give to people. Now, this is assuming that you're doing your 15% investing and all that kind of stuff all along the journey. But
right.
You just got to reestablish some goals, some things to remember for you and for our listeners, wherever you're tuning in. There's five major components that make a goal a great goal. Make sure that your goals, first of all, are in writing. They're staring you in the face every day because you've probably thought about these goals. It didn't take you long to think about, oh, I need to save for a house. You knew that already, but it's not like,
right.
It's not on your refrigerator. It's not on your bathroom mirror. It's not staring a hole through you that you've got this financial goal in front of you. And of course, this isn't like your whole life isn't wrapped up in this, but I'm talking financially. Where are you going financially? It needs to have a time limit. For me, I'm doing the same thing. I'm in the same boat as you. I'm saving up for a house. I want to pay for it in cash. May of 2017 is my magic date. I know exactly how much money I've got to save every single month to be able to hit that mark. And it's very stretching. It's a God-sized goal, but I'm going after it. So it needs to have a time limit. It needs to be yours. You know, obviously this one's yours, not your brother's, not your sister's, not your parents. It needs to be very specific. So it's not just save up for a house. It's how much money, what kind of house, what size of house, what location. It needs to be very, very specific. It needs to not be an idol, but it just needs to be a goal. And it needs to be measurable. And so in this scenario, it definitely is very measurable. It's a certain amount of money by a certain amount of date to buy a certain kind of house. But that's what you need to do. Reestablish your goals.
Okay.
All of that, Nicholas, all of that is all under the realm of knowing that our plans are just our plans. We really don't have control. But, you know, Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So you need to reestablish your goals, but then keep in mind that you're not God and that he has a plan. But that's all it is. That's all I hear here is that you just need to have reestablished goals and they need to stare you in the face every day. Our next call comes in from Nashville, Tennessee. Is this Jewel or Julie?
It's Julie.
Oh, there you go. Something told me that Jewel was not right. But anyway, Julie, we're glad you called in. How can I help you?
Well, I have a son who is getting married in May. He's a senior in college, and so is his fiance, and they are two very sensible young adults. But my concern is they come from two very different financial backgrounds. She came from a background where they were comfortable. There wasn't a lot of worry or concern about money, and they really didn't have to sacrifice. And our background was very different than that. And so I want to find out what kind of tool or resource I can give them that while they're kind of coming together and starting to plan their future together, what is the best way for them to start learning about money together and where each one comes from and how to kind of combine those and, you know, come together as one that way.
Yeah, I mean, great question. And, you know, obviously from your perspective where you're, you know, getting involved, it's sensitive because, you know, you're the mom and the mother-in-law. And so there's sensitivity there. And it seems like you've got you got your hand on the pulse there as far as the sensitivity. The two major things that they need probably are, did I hear from you that they don't have a whole lot of time or they're time constricted or they...
Right now, they're both seniors, and so their senior year, it's pretty tough, it's pretty full, and they're taking a fundamentals in marriage class through their church. So
okay.
To add another class, you know, because I had thought about Financial Peace University, and we're probably going to do that for them this summer after they graduate, but... Right now, it's just, I don't know, I just feel like maybe if I could give them something right now that kind of helps them you know, through this process right here, the planning of the wedding, and, you know, how are we going to start, you know, planning for our first year together and that kind of thing. It might be, and they're probably going to touch on this in their class.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's one thing that's, you know, we try to make Financial Peace University accessible for everyone in every season. And one of the things that they might want to take advantage of is our Financial Peace University home study, where they can just do it like right there. You know, when they normally would be having a, you know, movie night at the house on, you know, they would just sit down and pop that in into the DVD player. So it's our FPU home study. That would be one option, because I like that, because it's, you know, we're in a visual culture, and if they're younger, they're probably going to gravitate towards that anyway. And plus, Dave is the primary teacher in there, and he's just absolutely hilarious. And I just think they're just going to love it. The total money makeover works too. You know, if they're more academic and more, it's not necessarily an academic book, like it doesn't read academia, but it's probably going to be a little bit more clinical in the feel. So those are two different options. Maybe it's both. I don't know. FPU home study or the total money makeover. That'd be fine for them. It sounds like they're. Yeah, it sounds like they're go-getters. So either one of those, you know, the self-learning that's going to happen in the home study, or the self-learning that's going to happen with total money makeover, I think they'll be fine.
And do you think either one of those would be good for? I mean, right now they're looking. Right now, neither one of them has a job, so they don't really have an income coming in.
Well, so they'll get the concepts. Yeah, the concepts are, it's really a conceptual thing. It's not, I mean, there's going to be some exercises in there where it's like, hey, go do your budget right now. But they can just put in a projected number. They'll get the concept. Okay. The whole idea is that they change their way of thinking if it needs changed, or they would solidify their way of thinking that will equip them to combat the teachings, the major teachings that are in the world today, which is you have to go into debt to succeed, which is crazy.
So. Right. Okay.
But that'd be the big thing. And you. I think, you know, also as a mom and a you know, future mother-in-law, to really watch them when it comes to not having a whole lot of time, you know, to be careful that they don't overextend themselves and not have any margin. It sounds like this is a busy season for them, but, you know, all this conversation about stewardship and all this conversation about finances, you know, you think it all boils down to Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if we're running around busy and doing all this stuff and seeking other things and seeking all these appointments, and we can really just lose the whole entire macro focus of what all this is about. So just something to watch is they seem very, very ambitious. And sometimes that ambitious could get in the way of our actual relationship.
I promise you they are ambitious, but they are on fire for God.
So I love it.
They're starting off in the right direction, I promise you.
Good. Well, that's probably because they have an amazing mother-in-law and mother.
I hope so. But thank you so much. That's real. I'm definitely going to go ahead and get that for them. I was just concerned about the no income thing, but you're right. It's a conceptual thing.
Yeah.
So I will do that.
All right. Stewardship.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Well, if we're talking about Financial Peace University, and that's what that last conversation was about with Julie. And man, it would have been so incredible to have I had a great mom in a lot of ways, but to have a mom like Julie that's going to put resources in front of me in that season of my life, that's just really cool. So I think they're very, very fortunate. But if you're ready to take your first step towards fixing your money problems, if you have some, which research shows that most of us do, then you need Financial Peace University. It has helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt, save for the future, and it's helped them learn how to handle money God's way, which is the most important. You can take it in a local class, as what I just mentioned, also as a home study, or online. To find out more about FPU is what we call it sometimes, but Financial Peace University, just visit stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. That's stewardship.com, or you can call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Now, I've mentioned the phone number quite a few times today, but you can also email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. And this email comes in from Christopher. He says, first of all, I love the show. I listen to the podcast at work and have not missed any episodes. That's impressive. We're on baby step two. We recently made an addition to our family, and with two kids, I could not keep the two-door car. I bought a fixer-upper four-door car for less money and got it on the road. We sold the two-door yesterday, and I was wondering if we should tithe on total price of the sale or the difference in price between the cars. Thank you for all your wisdom. You have truly brought God closer to my heart. That's awesome to hear. Here's the answer, Christopher. Neither. That is not income. That is not net increase. Really, what you just did was you liquidated value on an asset. You didn't increase your net worth or really decrease your net worth. You took something that was a monetary value in metal and converted it into spendable cash. So that money was already tithed when you made the money to be able to purchase the car the first time. So great question, but by all means, if God's, convicting your heart to give some of it, that's totally between you and God. Just do it cheerfully, as the Bible says. But as far as a true tithe scenario, this is not a tithing scenario at all. There was no increase in your net worth. There was no increase in your income. There was no increase in your home. You just transferred the format of the actual tender. So you went from metal to cash. Our next call comes in from Wilmington, North Carolina. This is David. David, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So my question is, I need to move to a different state for my job, and our house is underwater. There's no way, even if I did upgrades on the house, there's no way that I would get the amount that I need to pay off the house. So I've been seeking out other options because I can't afford to have this house and rent at another location. And so the short sale has come up. And we're wondering if really is that the best option, because I've been praying about this. God's put this on my heart, and I feel really good about it, especially with all the questions and answers being done. But the one thing that bothers me is we're about to hit baby step three. In fact, I could be 30 seconds away from baby step three. But the lawyer is saying to continue, don't pay any more debt off. And I have a little bit of a problem with that.
What attorney is this? It's like a foreclosure?
It's a short sale attorney.
Okay. And are they representing you or representing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said you need to move for your job. Why exactly are you moving? What's need mean?
It's for the next point in the career. In order to take the next position, the promotion, I have to move to this other city, which amazingly so, the cost of living is way less. The commute's way less. My parents actually live there, so it's this kind of like domino effect. We have three kids. Two of them are homeschooled. I mean, there's just not a negative factor other than this house keeping us from being able to do this.
What industry is this?
Communications, cell phone industry.
What's your income?
56.
I think you're using the word need a little bit liberally. This really is an opportunity, and I'm going to get to your question in a minute. I want to make sure that conceptually you understand and our listeners understand that this is exactly what we mean when we say the borrower is slave to the lender, because oftentimes we dismiss this scripture when it comes to the home. We consumer debt, yeah. But mortgage debt's fine. That's not slave to the lender. This is exactly what happens. There's an opportunity coming where David can move, and he's strapped because he's tied to this, really, and think about it, a chain to the bank, a chain to this parcel. If he was in a renting situation, you can get out of most lease contracts because of a job transfer, actually almost all. So I just want to make sure that we all know that this does pertain to mortgages too. This is a real life scenario, and David, hate to use you as an example.
Fine.
You're not the only one, obviously. This is a very real experience for a lot of people. Okay, so you've got a couple concepts here. You've got Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. We're aware of that scripture. But the bottom line is a short sale is an agreement. A short sale is an agreement with a mortgage company. So it means they're agreeing to it and you're agreeing to it for them to take less than what is owed without a foreclosure process. That's really what it is. And it does affect your credit dramatically. I don't like the attorney saying that stop paying your debts. You know, if you've got an agreement with the bank and the bank says, we're not going to go into the short sale process with you unless you stop making your payments. I've been there before. They've told me, stop sending us money. And I'm like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners, you know, back in 2008 probably went through that as well. But I don't like you feeling like you need to do this for your job. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think it's what you want to do. It's the most logical progression in your career. It's a lot of great things for your family, it sounds like. But justifying the short sale because you need to go for your job, it doesn't sound like it's a need. It sounds like it's a want. So as long as you know what you're doing and what you're not doing, I think that's important. And making sure the Lord's part of the whole entire thing. But at the end of the day, if they agree to a short sale, they agreed to a short sale. And which I don't know why they would in this economy. I don't know if they will.
I think the concept behind it is that in a short sale, they're making more money than if it went through a foreclosure process. And so they're willing to take a lesser hit in order to make it happen.
Yeah.
I think that has something to do with it. But yeah, I mean, what was funny was the word that the lawyer gave was, you're not allowed, the banks can't hold you hostage in your life. And we do need a bigger house. And we've got three kids. It's a small house. We homeschool. And it's just the what's put on the God's heart and having this conversation too as well. I feel like the events and things are being put in place to make it happen. So I appreciate what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And how much are you underwater, by the way? Is it like 10 grand or is it like 100 grand?
It could be anywhere from 10 to 25,000.
Okay. And you said that you're not quite in baby step three?
No, I'm 30 seconds away from baby step three.
Okay. So you got
to pay. It's a matter of going on the computer and pressing pay.
Okay. And what would hurt you by delaying 6 months?
As far as?
Because in six months, you can get a part-time job and pay the $20,000 difference.
It's a time constraint. They're hired. It's a freeze. So if I don't make the decision in the next 30 to 60 days, I could wait up to a whole another year or two before they hire another position like that, unless something like a person leaves.
Yeah. Well, David, I know you called here for an opinion. You know, I know you're probably getting a lot of them, but based on what the scriptures say, and based on all the things you've told me, I would not take this. I am convinced this is not your only opportunity. I wouldn't even be shocked if you get a better one a year and a half if you waited. But that is my opinion based on the scriptures. I don't think you should take it, even if they agree. But my opinion is don't. So what do you think you're going to do?
We're still going to pray about it. We haven't pulled the trigger yet. We're meeting with some folks and doing a prayer group later this week and see what's led on the heart. So
yeah.
It's just, I've been in this same position for 11 years, and the things that have transpired up to this moment and have led to the I'm not supposed to be here situation. Like, I think I've stayed in my comfort zone way too long, and I feel like there's a need somewhere else, and it's just a matter of taking the leap of faith and doing it. So it's just... Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'm not 100% on board yet, but I haven't really had one negative thing come across yet. So
yeah,
just one of those things.
David, if you're marketable, which it sounds like you are, that this is even being offered to you, you're going to be marketable in a year and a half. And I have full faith that if you do this thing God's way, and I really believe that He will bless you for it. So that's my last 10%.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for the call.
Not a problem. You have a good day.
All right, folks. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we're talking about what God says about money. He says quite a bit, 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and possessions. More about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out and check out Chris Recommends. Of course, let's stay in touch at Chris Brown On Air on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.